I ask us in this moment to pay special attention to those names that over the past few days have gone to be with the Lord. And because this is what has happened in our community is such a significant part of our lives as our world seems to be in turmoil, or at least our society, I'm going to read these names because it's important for us to remember these names. The five police officers who lost their life in Dallas: Brent Thompson, Patrick Samaripa, Michael Kroll, Michael Smith, Lawrence Irons, and then there, of course, as you know, that there were two black lives lost this week at the hands of other officers, Philando Castile and Alton Sterling. But as Christians, we're not only called to pray for those who have been victims, we're also called to pray for our persecutors, to pray for our enemies, and to pray for those who need God evermore. And so we also remember the person who shot police officers in Dallas, Michael Xavier Johnson. And we remember the two officers, or the three officers involved in the shootings of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling: Geronimo Yanez, Blaine Salamino, and Howie Lake II. I have to tell you that this morning that I come to you with a very weary heart. Weary for many reasons, some of which we have prayed for today, and I really have no clue what I'm going to say today. I planned a sermon, I wrote a sermon, and I have it here, and it's sitting right in front of me in this moment. And I have fought and struggled and prayed and cried about what the Lord would have us hear at a time such as this. It's really not a new time, is it? It's the continuation of a long history, a history that goes back many hundreds of years. And when events that happen such as this week, whether they're the killing of black folks or whether they're the killing of police officers, it reminds us all too well of our past. Blood that was shed for this land, blood that was shed for the release of folks from slavery, and it's a reminder that blood is continuing to be shed today. It's not a message, it's not a thought that we often want to think about. And then when a week like this happens, and it's one after another, and there are now at least seven names, and those are just the ones that the media is talking about. There's more. There's others that we could lift up as well. As I have thought and as I have watched our news and as I have listened to folks conversing and talking over social media, I'm reminded that we are all hurting. That families who have young children of color are worried and hurting. In fact, in our own family, a few nights ago, as we, Joni and I, watched the video of the murder of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, one of our first thoughts was, how is our Kevin? Is he okay? And Joni called him to make sure he was. And he responded back, yeah, I'm okay. Because that's where our hearts go when we hear about death. It's where our hearts went when 9/11 happened, to wonder about our friends and family members who were in trouble, who might be near. And it's where our hearts and minds go in these tragedies. How are folks doing? When many of us have heard the shooting, the sniper shooting in Dallas, we thought, probably wondered if you had family members down in Dallas, are they okay? And folks I know were reaching across Facebook and other things to make sure that their family members were okay. I know some folks who knew of some police members of the Dallas PD, and We're incredibly worried. So much so that when these things happen, Facebook has even created a tracking app so that when you're in a city where something like this has happened, you can check in to let everybody on Facebook that's connected to you know that I'm okay. That's where the world is now. We're letting folks know that we're okay when tragedy happens through social media. There's a heaviness and there's a weight about these events, about where we are. And I think at the end of the day, we're all hurting. In fact, I woke up this morning and Joni had gone and gotten the paper off of the driveway. And then, I don't know, we all get different papers probably. I still kind of get the Charlotte Observer in my email. But my grandmother got the News and Observer, and that subscription's still active. So we got the News and Observer today. I always try to read the Daily Record as well. And I don't know what the Daily Record headline was today. But the News and Observer's headline reads this: "Fearing racial fractures, nation looks for accord." Now, I don't know that that captures everything that all of us are feeling, but it captures something that a lot of us are feeling. But I think the word fear may be the one word that we can all tie into today. We're all afraid of something. Police officers are afraid. Afraid for their lives as they are going about and serving our communities today after hearing what happened this week. People of color are afraid at what might happen to them if they're out and driving down the street and get pulled over. They're afraid. Trust me, if you're not a person of color, I have heard many. I have watched my friends reach out to one another to check in. I saw a congregation, a very famous congregation, which is actually tied to our denomination, Trinity Christian Church. You all probably know of that one. One of the most prominent churches in our country put a video out in collaboration with a few other congregations of folks, black folks, telling other black folks what to do to be safe when you're stopped by a police officer. That's where our country is. That folks have to send messages over social media and the news telling other folks how to be safe when you're stopped by the folks that are supposed to serve and protect us. Not because they're not trying to serve and protect us, but because there's stuff happening in the fabric of our society that we don't understand, that we can't put our finger upon, that it's hard to name. And I didn't really come to talk to you about that today. And I have to be honest with you. I listened to pastor friends. I was on a phone call yesterday morning where a group of clergy, mostly from Charlotte, because I'm still connected to a lot of those folks, got on a phone call to say, "Hey, what are you going to do for Sunday? What are you going to preach on?" And I listened to pastor after pastor say, "Well, we got to name it. We got to say what it is. We got to speak boldly and prophetically and let folks know what's happening in our world." And I thought to myself, yeah, that's important. And if we're not doing that every Sunday, then we're not really following Christ. So I hope that we have, in different ways, been doing that every Sunday. And I hope that if you'll look at the messages that we've shared, at the songs that we've sung, that the prayers that we've offered, we've been trying to think deeply about other people and what they're going through and what they're experiencing. And it's how, as Christians, just to use a few words from last Sunday, we are called to accept and embrace all people. That is the way of Christ, a way of unconditional love that knows no boundary and loves no difference. That knows no difference. So I'm not going to stand up here today and tell you what I think's going on in our country. I have my opinions, and you can see some of those on Facebook and other things. And I can get really passionate and talk about them for a long time. So if I did start talking about that today, we'd be here a long time. In fact, as many of you know, I'm a part of a group that does a two-day training on some of the things that are happening and going on right now. So I could be here for 2 days. I think, and as I listened to pastors talk on that phone call yesterday, I think that folks are hurting. I had a great conversation, and I didn't ask her about sharing this, and so I might get in trouble for doing this. But I had a great conversation with Jesse, who just took Emery over to the children's time over Facebook last night after she had read several things that were around. And she said, you know, Jesse's a probation officer, as many of you know. She said, you know, I'm a police, I'm connected to the police, and I'm a part of that community, and we do need more. One of the things that I had said is our officers need more training, not because they're not bad people. There's no officer that goes around thinking to themselves, I want to kill anybody. White, black, green, blue, brown, red, yellow. But there's things going on in our systems and in our training and in our minds and in our hearts that we're not always aware of. And Jesse said, yeah, we need more training. But she reminded me in her comments that there's folks that are hurting deeply. And it would be easy for me to say to you today that Christ is the one who brings all healing, and Christ is the one who brings about all healing. It is Christ's perfect love that casts out all our fear. It is the way of Christ that will lead us to a society that lives as God would have us and intends us to live. And I think we've been about saying those things week after week after week, so that's not new. I don't know that I have anything new or insightful or in profound or impressive to say to you today, other than your pain matters. Your grief matters. Your tears matter. The tears of folks across our nation who are hurting and afraid and scared matter. And I don't think it's ironic, I don't think it's coincidental, that on this very Sunday, given what has happened this week, that the story that we come to is the parable of the Good Samaritan. I suspect that if we pastors got together and thought about one of the most appropriate scriptures for a Sunday such as this, it might have been the Good Samaritan. A reminder of how we are to treat our neighbor, and a reminder that our neighbor transcends every difference that we can imagine. And unfortunately this week, in so many ways and in so many places, some of which we've heard about in the news and are written in papers and social media and so on and so forth, we're reminded that we don't always treat our brother and sister as our neighbor. That we sometimes forget who our neighbor is. And that's only the beginning, because there's all kinds of stories that we could share about other neighbors, about other places in the world where folks aren't being neighborly. And so I think asking ourselves what it means to be a good Samaritan today is an absolutely appropriate question. A question that I'm not going to answer for you today. But I am going to remind us that it is one of the calls of Christ to ask that question every day, in every situation, in every encounter. Whether you have a hoodie on or whether you have a uniform on. That is the question that is before all of us as Christians. Who is our neighbor, and how do we love that neighbor as Christ loves us? There are times in our community when the answers to that question are not easy. When nations are warring, when there's threats of terrorism, it's not easy to answer that question of how we're to treat our neighbor. It is the most difficult question that we can perhaps ask. Nonetheless, I think it is the right question. So I had intended and planned to come to you today thinking about the legacy of our church here, to remind us of the great stories that you all have experienced with one another, to recall those and to lift them up in celebration of the good work and the good ways that this congregation has been being a good Samaritan in this community for over 125 years. Joni asked you about a few of those stories, and some of you wrote some of those remembrances down. And so I'm just going to read a couple, not all of them, but a couple, to remind you, because I think that this work is the Good Samaritan work to which we're called. And it's at least a reminder, and it points us in the direction of an answer to that question of who is our neighbor and how do we be good neighbors. Folks remembered being baptized here, right in that baptismal pool. In fact, I didn't turn the light on this morning, and usually it's not on, but maybe it's not coincidental that the light is on in the baptismal pool this morning. And that there are those of you out here who were baptized in those waters as children, as adults. Maybe your children were baptized in those waters long ago. Many of you wrote about the day that you joined the church and how you felt welcomed when you came into these doors. How this was a place that felt like family. Felt like home. I've heard stories, Jonathan, you've got a great one, of talking about coming back to this place over the past few years because there's no other place around that feels like home in the way that this place does. Isn't it good that God's house can feel that way? There are those of you that have been remembering singing in the choir and the feeling that's evoked when you join your voices together in music and in song, singing of God's love, praising God, singing of God's mercy, singing of God's way. Some of you spoke about remembering weddings. How many of you were married in this sanctuary? And many of you spoke or wrote other stories of feeling loved and surrounded by this family when in times of need or times of illness or sickness or struggle. And you heard a note read earlier today from my folks about how you stood in the gap for folks even who aren't even members here. What good Samaritans over these years you have been. Thanks be to God for you. And so I'm going to end the sermon this morning, if this is even a sermon. Maybe it's something different. But I'm going to end it by reading our scripture passage this morning from Colossians, because it's words that Paul wrote to the church long ago. And I had a good 10 minutes of stuff to say about these words and digging into it, and that's just not going to happen today. But I want you to hear these words, and as you hear them, I want you to remember that question. What does it mean to be a good Samaritan? And who are the neighbors that we are called to be good to? And I want you to remember those stories that you can bring to your mind of how this church has been there for you, of how it has been your family, of how it has served this community in a variety of mission and ministry ways over these years. And I hope that these words from Paul encourage you. I hope that they remind you what it is to be a person of faith, what it is to call yourself a Christ follower. Paul begins in chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Colossians, by saying that our prayers, my prayers, for you are always spilling over into thanksgiving. I can't quit thanking God, our Father, and Jesus, our Messiah, for you. We keep getting reports of your steady faith in Christ, our Jesus. The love that you continuously extend to all people. The lines of purpose in your lives never grow slack, tightly tied as they are to your future in heaven, and kept taut by your hope. The message is true among you today as it was when you first heard it. It doesn't diminish over time, it doesn't weaken. It's the same, in fact, all over the world. The message of God that bears fruit, it gets larger and stronger just as it has in you. From the very first day you heard and recognized the truth of what God is doing, you've been hungry for more. Be assured that from the first day we heard of you, we haven't stopped praying for you, asking God to give you wise minds and wise spirits attuned to God's will, and so acquire a thorough understanding of the ways in which God works. We pray that you'll live well for the Master, making God proud of you as you work hard in His orchard. As you learn more and more how God works, you will learn how to do your work. We pray that you'll have the strength to stick it out for the long haul. Not the grim strength or gritting of teeth, but the glory strength that God gives. It is strength that endures the unendurable and spills over into joy, thanking the Father who makes us strong enough to take part in every bright and beautiful thing that God has for us. This is my prayer. These are my words of encouragement and support and hope for you. As you have lived these many years and done as a part of this family of faith called Hood Memorial Christian Church, may all that Paul says be true of you. May it be an encouragement to you. May it give you hope and guidance in a world that is all too fraught with violence, in a world that all too often brings us sorrow and causes us to question and wonder what is going on. May Paul's words encourage and guide us as we seek to be God's good Samaritans in the community, in the neighborhoods, and in the families in which we find ourselves. For it is Christ, the one who loves us all unconditionally, that makes this possible. Amen.